It will be weird when I need to go to Provo on a Sunday, having to get off at Sandy Civic instead of Draper Town Center.
Yeah, that is one of the more interesting reroutings. I suppose that's probably for more like State Street local service or
State
something.
Street now has,
Three buses.
well,
Or
it
four,
has
'cause Utah County.
basically all of it has bus service now.
Oh, there's probably just a little gap
I don't even.
between the 201 and the 871.
No, there isn't because the 201 ends at Sandy Civic Center.
Oh, that's kind of smart. That's kind of smart.
So now all of State Street has bus service and basically all of Redwood. So.
Yeah, I'm loving the new Redwood North bus.
Hello.
Good
Hello,
morning.
hello.
Good morning.
It's morning
It's morning
somewhere.
in America. It's because we're going to
Good
kill
morning,
the.
America. Sign the sunshine show.
That's so true.
Yeah, what are we building?
Success from the ground up.
Are we doing DC part two, or is there that some there is so much change day contents?
So we have the podcast today is on Change Day, as you can see from all the beautiful blue and gray maps that UTA produces.
It's so big, it got its own podcast.
I mean, it's fine. It's okay, I guess. I'm glad there are new routes, but most of them really suck, so.
We've had much worse.
The trouble with them is that they don't run on the weekend.
Yeah, that is trouble. We can talk South County theory later.
These are some interesting maps.
There's lots, many maps. Many people are saying there's great maps.
Certainly. Well, should we go through the process for going through the maps in order that often becomes of us on these episodes?
Yes. Okay. Welcome to the internet. Live from a sailboat riding the wave of our crashing economy, this is the Red Line Podcast. I'm your host, quote, being able to take the bus in the suburbs, Dunstan, and these are my co-hosts.
Kyle, quote, "What if the tracks had a sailboat car?" Close quote. Holland and
Alex, quote, not very quick on my feet, unquote, Fielder. Today we're talking about UTA's April change day for 2025. We'll talk new routes across the Wasatch Front after the news.
yeah, there's so much change in this day. We got a whole episode to
She
talk about it
change
and what it
on my
means for
day
the
until I
bigger picture
bust.
of our metro area. Yeah, something like that. I mean, you wish she did, but UTA hasn't
Oh,
extended that
I
far
don't
yet.
wish. Okay, yes.
Do 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 do.
In a breathtaking blow to transit in the city of Fountains, Kansas City's council has passed a budget that effectively guts bus service across the city. Although a
Aww.
stopgap measure has been put in place to keep the buses rolling, the transit service will be severely affected through the next 6 months as the KCATA scrambles to find funding. This is something like a $35 million shortfall on a $117 million yearly budget. Now they pass a
Ooh.
stopgap measure that's like 40 million to keep it running, but like after 6 months, they're just like, "Well, you better have figured
Wait,
it
so
out."
the city passed a stopgap measure after passing a unsustainable
That's
budget?
correct.
So does the city hate or like the
Great
service?
question. I think everyone is confused.
Okay. We'll be back in 6 months. But yeah, $35 million shortfall on a $117 million yearly budget is probably like what, a third, half of operations, because there's always administrative overhead and maintenance.
Probably. They were gonna cut like 13 out of like 30 routes that they had.
Oh, that's a lot of them.
Yeah.
That's like a death wish for a death spiral.
Yes, it is. But under this sort of stopgap thing, all their frequent routes, which I think run 10 minutes, are going to be running every 15 to 20, and every other bus route will run every 60 minutes. And Kansas City's much lauded zero fare program will be suspended in an effort to raise additional funds.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Look, I don't want to like sort of dance upon the grave of a free fare program, but like I have in the
you need the money.
I have in the past suggested that it may not be as like responsible or good optics as we all think it is to not have fares on transit.
Yeah.
Do not tell that to CBTD Connect. Do not tell them that.
Well, CBTD is a little different situation than Kansas City, a metropolitan area of like 2.5 million people.
Yeah. It also would cost like it would cost a ton of money to install the non-existent fare infrastructure up here. So
I don't want to suggest that like places that have always had free fare should just be like, oh, well, we're going to charge fare for no reason. But
maybe we shouldn't be making more places with free fare because it just makes a hole in the budget.
It does, and then the city has to fill it, and the city gets sick of filling it, and that may be the reason why this was a whole thing.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, we talk a lot about how, like, BART, for example, was famously over-reliant on fare revenue, 70% pre-pandemic, until suddenly that fare revenue dropped out from under it. It's also possible to be over-reliant on tax revenue, because sometimes the tax revenue drops out from under
it. Literally every transit agency in the United States outside of, like, the Northeast Corridor and California and maybe Seattle is overly reliant on tax revenue.
Diversify, diversify, diversify. You want a mix of tax revenue, fare revenue. If you're cool, even maybe real estate and advertising revenue.
Okay, Japan Railways.
We can wish.
But I would like to...
UTA can't even manage one parking garage without a corruption scandal, so...
I think if this had happened under the previous administration, there would have been a federal stopgap measure, and the city wouldn't have had to be like, well, you got to figure it out in 6 months, otherwise we can't afford to pay for your services anymore. So this may be the first transit victim of the Trump era. And I would like to mention the fact that in, I think it's 2028... Kansas City World Cup. 2026, that's next year. The World Cup, you know, the International Soccer Championship, will be coming to Kansas City, and I don't think that whatever, you know, European countries are playing there is going to be favorably impressed by Kansas City's transit if,
no buses.
If there are no buses.
Yeah.
Is this the World Cup where there's matches all across North America?
I think it must be, but at least a couple of them are in Kansas City.
Yeah, kind of a bad time to, well, just hate on all of our allies that we're going to be working with the World Cup.
But. Well, you see, we need to get one up on our long historical enemy, Canada, and cozy up to our historical ally, Russia.
These are real things.
China and
that you're saying.
Yeah, our friends. Iran. So anyway.
We don't need friends.
Yeah, America doesn't need friends because that has worked out so well for other countries in world history. See 1900 to 1945. Or like... 1780 to like 1815. A Napoleon reference on the Red Line podcast. That may be a first.
I think it might be.
Hail the Emperor of the French. All right. On to the show. Kyle, this has been the news.
Am I like the chair of the Senate or whatever?
No, you do have to make the noise though.
Do 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 do
do.
I mean, make me.
All right, positivity section. What good thing happened to you this week?
Oh,
this segment's already kind of getting hard, but
I made a wicked connection at courthouse the other day. I was coming down from the university, and as I pull into the station, there comes the green line I need to go to the west side. Just like perfect cross-platform transfer moment. So that was pretty good.
Pulling cross-platform pulling cross-platform transfers on fucking tracks is something else. I'm impressed.
I am literally the greatest tracks writer alive.
I get to see my fiance's great-grandmother, so that's always a treat.
Wicked.
Sounds pretty great.
Kyle?
I'm thinking.
A not copyrighted version of this tune, doo-doo.
I don't know. Been a pretty boring week.
Kyle and I went hiking last weekend.
Got in like a 70-mile bike ride, but that was not that exciting. Oh, yeah. The hiking was pretty good.
There you go. And we tried a banger new restaurant. Like,
oh, yeah. Pretty good.
It was like...
Let's try the other location next time.
Yeah. If you're a downtown Salt Lake City frequenter, you may have noticed that we now have two, quote, Ramblin' Roads family restaurants within... one block of each other, one on Main Street and one at the corner of West Temple and Second South. And they are the same restaurant, but we visited the one on Main Street and very good platters. So this has been my food review corner, like platters of food. This has been Food Review Corner.
That's a good use of the positivity section. I'm on board.
Is this a restaurant, I don't know if I should... say the name, but colored animal that lives in the desert.
What?
Okay, no, so not it's not. One. What restaurant is
that
this?
One? Is not new.
Colored animal that lives in the desert.
The locations on that one are a bit more.
I thought you were referring to the blue and the red iguana.
Oh, certainly not. No.
Okay.
Aren't the blue and red iguanas separate restaurants?
They are, and they're not one block apart.
Yeah.
All of my Salt Lake knowledge has flown out the window.
Well, you're moving back. You'll get it back.
Yeah, I'm discredited now.
You're fake Salt Laker. The only cradle Salt Laker in the podcast, and you don't even know where the red iguana is. Shame on you.
I don't belong in Logan. I don't feel at home in Salt Lake.
shame on you. Okay. Let's talk about the fixes... how UTA is being better, trademark.
Wow. Well, for one, this is a service expansion change. Ooh. Day instead of a service reduction change.
That's
day.
That's a first. Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody got shafted. Did I miss one?
No, nobody really got messed
up. I know they,
up.
Like...
That's nice.
They did some, like, you know, realignments and replacement of, like, one bus service with a different bus service, but I don't think anybody got, like, shafted on overall service.
This is true. So I will read a quote.
Although we shall dig into it.
I will read a quote for UTA from UTA's website regarding what they're doing here. So, quote.
Quoth the Raven.
Quoth the Raven. Quoth J. Fox. On Sunday, April 13th, UTA will roll out significant updates to service, enhancing both coverage and convenience for Davis, Salt Lake, and Utah County residents. UTA is increasing its service hours by over 100,000 hours and extending its service miles by more than 1.1 million miles. This expansion also includes 350 new stops. Wow.
What?
Huh?
That's a lot.
That's like the entirety of CVTD.
Okay, well, chill.
I want to see how much of, like, a percentage change these, like, service hours and service quotes, miles quotes are, because we can get the annual data from the FTA agency report.
Go look at it. Bring it on.
Okay. Mode, bus, 2023. They don't have 2024 yet, unfortunately. Annual vehicle revenue hours, 1,300,000. So another 100,000 hours. That is actually, like... 7.5% increase in overall bus service over 2023, which is like actually a lot.
So wait, it's a 7% increase?
7.5.
Wow.
Over 2023 data.
Well, hot dang.
That's a lot. Yeah.
So big deal. It also comes with new routes. We will start in Salt Lake County since that's the only one anyone cares about. That's a joke.
False.
That's a joke.
So false.
That's a joke. That's a lie. That's fake news.
So false. Yeah, arguably some of the non-Salt Lake County routes are even more valuable, but we'll get into those.
This first one is one that I have been whining about for like 4 years now, and I'm very glad it's happening.
Oh, true.
We are getting a bus on 126th South, which will be...
Mostly.
Well, sort of. Which will mostly be called, which will, you know, shockingly be called Route 126.
Sticking with it. Love it.
I'm truly surprised by this. I never would have expected.
Now, the catch is this route is very much a token coverage route for like multiple separate municipalities in the entire south end of the valley.
Yes. And it's also going to be a great feeder route, I think, someday.
Someday, like return to tracks having feeder routes. Like tracks ridership crashed post-COVID, and one of the big reasons for that is cutting back or removing entirely feeder routes.
So this route has some truly extraordinary deviations, I will say, including like a sort of couple of like phallic things down into the more southerly reaches of
that
the valley.
That might be a phallic deviation into our southerly regions.
Yeah, well, Harriman, I guess, you know, needs to have its weird little bus. Isn't it weird that it's going to go on, like, on the Mountain View Parkway?
On Mountain View? Well, that one, that part of pavement is never going to be freeway because they're doing the Texas-style freeway there, so that'll be a local frontage road into perpetuity, so it's not really going on a freeway.
Well, anyway.
It is a little bit weird. It's probably going there because that's, like, the road.
That's the only road, yeah.
Anyways, but that's, like, a 3.5-mile deviation down from 126th.
Yes, it is. And then there's another...
Back. At least they get to go fast back.
And then when it crosses... When it's about to cross the freeway, there's another, like, 1.5-mile deviation to the south to get to
Draper. So it can hit Draper Frontrunner.
Which is great,
I guess.
Which,
to be fair, makes us a lot more useful.
But also, like, this will not be fun to ride when I ride this, which I will be doing soon.
No, it won't. And what I was going to say is what I find interesting is that due to, like, the weird freeway configuration in the area and the over-reliance on freeways for local trips, I would know, they do this entire deviation entirely on the west side of the freeway. Which reduces coverage for some of the other business destinations.
Yeah, they,
but I guess gets you more frequency to IKEA.
They should have, like, here's my thought. They should have taken it down to 139th and gotten some of, like, the residential parts of Draper just to sort of improve things, yeah. Trademark. But I guess... another day and another bus.
Well, I guess this will cover some of the new Draper, like... Draper West Side, because we're making new West Sides now. I mean that in the most derogatory and classist way possible. they are hitting some of the new developments over there, but they are entirely missing the rich, complainy part.
This is true. So yes, unfortunately this will be weekdays only and hourly, but it is a start.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, maybe, what was the mayor they had on CityCast from the south end of the valley?
I don't remember, Trent Staggs or something.
Yeah, it was Trent Staggs.
Oh, I was right? Huh.
Yeah, I just don't remember what he's mayor of. They had mayor of Riverton.
Oh yeah, Riverton, you're right.
They had mayor of Riverton on CityCast, and despite the south end of the county generally being fundamentally opposed
anti-woke
to the concept of bus service... and opposed to tracks extensions, it took a lot of ramming to get the Draper extension in, which is now very well used at that terminus. Despite those areas being very anti-transit, because it brings the poors who will come and, like, do knife crime in our neighborhoods,
true,
which is, like, the most false and racist thing I've heard since... I don't know, I've heard a lot of racist things this week. despite that, Trent Staggs got on CityCast and complained about how, despite Riverton paying in the form of some token amount of sales tax, there's not a lot of sales tax base in Riverton, hate to break it to him. Despite that, they weren't getting much back in the way of bus service. I wonder why, because they've been opposing it for decades. So I guess this is what he wanted, a token bus route that isn't really a game changer for... Riverton, but it exists.
Hooray! Which brings us to another weird token bus route fulfilling weird political obligations, the 871. Wasn't that a great segue? Well,
hey, that one already exists. That was not a new one.
I know
one.
It's not, but it is getting...
Yeah, you put it in the middle of the new bus section. I did. But it is important to come put after the 126.
Because the reason it is changing is because of the 126, which is why I put it there.
Which is really cool. And you mentioned we might now have continuous State Street coverage.
Yes, I believe from 126th all the way up to the Capitol, we now have buses on State Street. So... that's pretty cool.
Wow.
This just, the 871 now, instead of going to Draper Town Center, will just go up State Street and end at Sandy Civic. So if you're a freakazoid like me and end up in Utah County on a Sunday, remember not to go to the end of the line anymore, because there will not be a bus there for you.
Yeah, you got to get it at Sandy Civic. Yeah, it would be really, really nice if we didn't have this bus, like, cosplaying as the non-existent Blue Line extension. If we actually had that Blue Line extension, then you could go around Point of the Mountain on Sundays, and you could go around for local trips.
We're going to build an unconnected spur line instead.
Because, according to the actual study, if we even put so much as, like, a non-revenue single connecting track onto the main Blue Line, there would be the risk that the public would demand more Blue Line service, and that would be unacceptable.
True.
Because the point wants transit to look at, not transit for people to use.
Well, except Front Runner. People are allowed to use that because it's... well, it's...
it's for rich
and
people.
It has been endorsed by a...
and you can drive
to it. As of a couple days ago, it has been endorsed as a very clean and beautiful train by a Trump administration official. So...
which is definitely not a dog whistle for the rider base being
Caucasian.
Rich and for it being compatible with car dependency, rich and white. Well, it's 2025, rich, white, poor, black. This is how we do racism now.
Yeah. So that brings us to the 219, which is another new route on South Redwood Road.
So on Redwood Road, which is 17th West, we have the 217, nice big 15-minute route that runs most of the way. We've got the 218, the South Redwood Road bus, which has existed for a while. And now we're getting the 219, which is the South Redwood Road bus.
That's right. And it will run from Sandy Civic Center to South Jordan Front Runner to Redwood Road on 104th South, where it will continue south all the way to 144th. And then end at Bluffdale City Court with no, like, connection.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's... I guess there's nothing to connect to. Frankly, the Redwood Road bus should also go into Utah County because Redwood Road goes into the Utah County. But that side of Utah County is very, like... it's just suburbs of Utah. Suburbs of Lehi. They're growing a commercial and retail base, but... if Utah County can barely manage, like, a bus that runs on Sunday, or what is it, too? Asking for a bus that goes into the more suburban areas might be a bit of a stretch.
Well, I think they should have just bit the bullet and spent the extra couple bucks to send it down to Lehi Front Runner. But
that,
budget
again,
is limited.
Cross Point of the Mountain connection is really, really nice when Front Runner's not available.
Yes, it is. And it is kind of another massive deviation fest, but whatever.
Well, because they're providing all the local service in Sandy, because Sandy actually has ridership. And then I want to see what this little, like, circle deviation is at the end.
It goes to Bluffdale Jordan City Court.
Parkway. Oh, cool. I suppose that's useful.
Are these,
it's a place where the drivers
can
be
half
pee.
Hour?
Wait, what was that, Alex?
Are these going to be half-hour buses?
This one's an hourly.
You're adorable, Alex.
So was the last one.
And neither of these run on weekends?
Neither runs on weekends.
That is
It is
so
in the
broke.
South Valley. Nobody needs to go anywhere on a weekend.
Definitely not, because people exclusively use slow, infrequent buses to commute.
Uh-huh. Which brings us to buses that will be less slow and infrequent.
Whoa.
The 39 has been restored to 15-minute service as of next Sunday.
Woo, 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 woo. as it has always deserved. That was a depressing cut.
Yes, it was. The 201 has also been restored to 30-minute service.
Fucking good. Thank goodness. The transfer mess you have to do to get onto the 201 is painful enough already. But the hour service sucked.
As has the 218.
Very good, very good. Again, transfer mess to get on and off of that, and it's mainly a feeder line for Trax and Frontrunner. But 30 minutes is infinitely more useful than hourly.
Yes, it is. Other Salt Lake County things, ski buses go away as usual in the summer.
I was looking at this Thursday at Brighton Resort. It's supposed to be 60 degrees.
So probably done skiing, huh?
Yeah, and do you want to guess what the individual lift ticket price is for this Thursday at Brighton Resort?
$8,000.
$99.
Is that...
for a 60-degree day.
Uh-huh. Is that good or bad?
That's terrible.
I don't...
That is like the price you would pay for a Brighton day ticket during like the normal season where the snow is solid.
Wow. I always forget
like
just
the end of season tickets, I'd expect to be more like $30 to $60. And, you know, you go to a bougier place like Alta and it's like $120 plus.
I'm never skiing or snowboarding.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's very, very inaccessible.
Yeah.
Financially, thanks to the ski bus getting there, I was like, fine.
And then the long-term detours on Second South are now officially ended.
Officially, nice. Officially
this
for now.
This is de jure a BRT route now, so.
Wow.
I remember.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I remember being excited, thinking they would finish Second South before I moved.
Oh, that's hilarious. That was 2 years ago now? Yeah.
Yeah, almost. A year and a half ago.
Well, now it's done for real, so you can come and you can enjoy it.
And it is beautiful. Because it is amazing. Yeah.
I'm very excited.
It's very nice walking around downtown and just seeing an empty bus lane, waiting for a bus to come and not get stuck behind anything. And it's very nice when you're getting to the going and on the bus and stopping at the one or more stops per block because they're psychotic and can't do stop consolidation, that the bus doesn't have to like move over two lanes to get stops.
There's only like one place downtown where there's two stops per block, and that is
there's a couple.
Where?
Let me pull it up
because on my transit app. As far as I can tell, the only one is between Second East and State Street downtown, and there's
hot take, they should have got rid of the Second East stop. Like, what the hell are you transferring for the four? You can do that elsewhere.
People are getting off to go to their house probably.
This is the problem with stop consolidation. If you consolidate one stop, that sucks for the people at the stop and benefits no one. If you consolidate all the stops, the travel time savings work out to cover the extra walk. I guess depends on your definition of downtown, but in the downhill direction, there's two on the 4th East to 5th East block.
Yeah, I don't know. In my head, downtown ends at 3rd, so...
According to the city, it ends at 2nd, but screw them.
Well, the problem is that Worthington and a couple of other towers are on the wrong side of 2nd, and I feel like that means that 2nd to 3rd deserves to be in downtown.
Definitely. Frankly, I think we should just keep
in the library
expanding
too.
The definition of downtown, because the practical difference for like the edge of downtown or the central traffic district or the CBD or whatever is in downtown, you get these beautiful, nice, wide sidewalks and you get mid-block crosswalks everywhere. Out of downtown, the sidewalk situation is fine, but hardly glamorous for our capital city. And the mid-block situation is that there aren't.
I see here. I'll show you my map of my headcanon map of downtown, and you can see if you agree with me or not. Okay.
And I can see if the city agrees with you.
I don't care what the city thinks.
Hot takes.
They work for me.
Get them all there
fresh.
They work
for me.
True. You are the taxpayer.
As a taxpayer in the city of Salt Lake City, Utah.
As the taxpayer in the city of Salt Lake.
I don't think I'm the taxpayer. I think there are probably several hundred thousand.
Yeah, it's true.
Or a couple hundred.
I just
thousand.
Wanted you to feel special.
Here we go. Now I gotta use my snipping tool.
I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, everything east of the freeway, north of 7th, and west of 3rd.
Very, very RGP core.
Is downtown.
I'd cut out some of the stuff on the north edge. You're getting a bunch of residential above North Temple.
I think that if you can walk to the conference center, and if you can walk to North Temple, then you're downtown.
That's fair.
And also,
for housing purposes, but for defining like what is the business district, that does not include.
I didn't say business district, though. I said downtown, and those are two different things, because the business district would be more like West Temple.
I suppose I think business as in like any business, not business as in suits business. So I guess maybe that's an outdated term. But I'm thinking like downtown, not walking distance to downtown.
But there are...
Which will always be like downtown plus 10 minutes.
I don't know. I was just thinking like in terms of housing density, everything south of 3rd North is kind of like downtown density level.
That is true. They do have like those beautiful condo buildings.
And then that bit of like those kind of weird blocks between that are east of B Street and south of 2nd Avenue.
Broke ass blocks.
Are like... By every definition, the densest census tract in Utah, and like very clearly downtown in the fact that you can walk to Harmon's, you can walk to the Cobb, you can get on tracks, you know, all that. So I don't know. I think that this is downtown, but not the central business district, if that makes sense.
Okay.
I'm good
with
that.
Close enough. And I'm happy with an optimistic definition.
Here, let me take a picture.
1 million Salt Lakers.
Let me take a picture that you can use to demonstrate my genius.
Oh, with the little credit in the corner. Thank you.
Anyway, that was way off topic. Let's get to like the next thing.
Would it be a podcast if we never went off topic?
No, it would not.
All right, next county. Pick a county.
Next county, Davis and/or Utah County. Sorry, Weber, you're left out this time.
I said pick a county.
417 yep. Redwood Road North, meaning that basically the entire length of Redwood Road in Salt Lake County now has a bus on it, and most of the length of Redwood Road, period, now has a bus on it. This will run between...
Which is very cool, very cool.
The state office buildings at 1940 West North Temple, our worst name station, except maybe Power Station Station, and Woods Cross Front Runner. So it's...
Hey, canonically, that one's just named... Power.
Yes. It's called Power Station.
So it's Power Station.
If you look at the thing, but it's Power, but every other thing you would say like, I'm going to Fair Park Station. Yeah. I'm going to Jackson Euclid Station. I'm going to North Temple Station. But there, you're just supposed to call it like Power Station, even though it's Power Station Station.
Yeah, fair. You want to bet they're going to name the new Gadsby plant development in like 2032 or whenever that
Power
starts?
Power Station Station.
Like Power Station.
I think they should...
Lowercase the capital Power Station Station.
I think that they're actually calling it like West Quarter or something.
You know what? Named. That's better than just naming it after the Power Station.
No, I like the Power Station.
Yeah. I love to go to Power Station Station. I love to...
I live in Power Station.
I love to go on a lesbian date at Power Station Station.
Oh god. But more seriously, this is going to be a very good route for like regional connectivity, because in that part of town we have perhaps one of the strongest east-west divides on the entire front. Like usually, I might have to wait for the train to pass across. Go find a freeway bridge.
South of North Temple.
Here there just is nowhere to cross.
North of like 6th North, there's cross the freeway as a pedestrian.
There is one grade crossing at 1800 North. There's a couple of minor freeway underpasses that are fairly useless. And then you've got nothing all the way up to Woods Cross Center Street.
So this is what we would call good.
And that 1800 North grade crossing really line up with anything else east-west and is constantly blocked by trains being stored in the yard because UP hates us.
Also, I would like to mention
minor traffic violations.
The fact that this goes by a whole bunch of like jobs and also housing and also my favorite and most stupidest thing in Utah, the Sky Park Airport.
The Sky Park Airport?
Yes.
Enlighten me.
It's one of those airports that just shouldn't exist because it's way too close to Salt Lake.
Oh my God, that's a runway?
Yes, it is.
That blends in so well.
Yeah.
How is this real? The landing gate is like next to just a street.
Well, that's how that normally works, Kyle.
Usually there's more than 2 feet between the end of runway pavement and the beginning of the sidewalk.
Actually, here, let me show you a picture of the airport where I primarily learned how to fly. Back in the day. Now, they've fixed it now, but it used to be really bad. I'll have to find the historical imagery. Where is it?
Okay. Hit me.
This is how you can tell I'm, like, way out of practice. I can't find it anymore. But it used to be that at Nampa Airport, Airport Road was, like, I don't know, 500 feet away. So now they built a roundabout to make it better. Yeah. And you used to be able to, if you could just sort of, every time you drove through that intersection, there'd be like a small plane, like landing on top of you, basically. It was kind of fun.
That is hilarious, actually. Midway moment. No, I didn't know that airport existed. It blends in so well. I've scrolled past this a million times on the aerials.
Well, and Kyle, technically the runway doesn't start until...
Well, technically, that's why I said the runway pavement rarely goes this close.
Oh, yeah, the apron,
any buffer. Yeah, the landing gate's like a reasonable distance.
Yeah, that's true. I guess that's just for taxi purposes. Although I don't know why you would do that, because you just make the taxiing more of a pain in the ass. Like, just end the runway where you want it to end and then stick the taxiway there instead of being like, actually, why don't we... Anyway, this is me being...
We can get someone from the airport on and we can do a Sky Park air park mini-sode.
Yes. Also...
But yeah, you're right. Absolutely crazy housing and jobs coverage.
Yes. So this is a very good route, and that's why it's going to run half hourly and... But still weekdays only, so...
Yeah, of course. You can only have so much.
Route 823, which is more service for southern Utah County. Seems like this one just catches the part of the long, stringy bit of the Utah County suburbs that the 821 doesn't manage. I'm sure our good friend Logan Millsap will be excited.
Also known as the Future Frontrunner Extension.
Yeah, I think that this is sort of prefiguring that.
Good.
So.
Hold up, I'm looking at the 821... Oh, 821 for reference. Love you.
Ooh, wow, Kyle. So...
Okay, so these kind of work together like 455, 470 style to cover all the coverage.
Yes, probably with better service, though.
Ouch, 821 shaded.
Not that that's incredibly difficult. So
no, that's good. There's a ton of stuff.
It will be half
a ton of stuff down there.
It will be half hour weekly and or on weekdays and hourly on weekends.
It runs on weekends on Sunday too.
I think it's just Saturdays because the 821 does run Sundays. So you know you can walk like 10 miles.
Right. So 455, 470 style, they would run one of those, and you can just walk a gajillion miles to the thing.
Correct. Will this increase Provo Station's power? Almost certainly. Already one of our most used stations, actually I think the most used station outside of Salt Lake City, and will likely continue to climb since it's getting, you know, a new relatively useful feeder route.
Well, yeah, because Provo is such a strong terminus as is, and there's so much pent-up demand south of there.
Because Provo is like...
No matter how you get to Provo Station, you want to be
Provo
there.
Provo is a real city in the way that all the other suburbs aren't, including you, my beloved Ogden, I'm sorry to say.
Unfortunately.
As much as I would...
I wish Ogden was as powerful of an end, but it's
as
not.
As much as I would prefer for Ogden to be more powerful than Provo, Provo is much more powerful than Ogden.
Yeah.
So...
Now, if our honor went to Logan, then we'd have a real northern anchor
also
point.
Also great bars in Provo. Anyway, well, I should say bar, but...
All two of them?
Yeah.
One of them?
Currently only one.
One bar in Provo?
Yeah, the other one came under new ownership, and now so it has to reapply for its exemption from being too close to the city center temple.
Wow.
So
I thought I had it bad up here, but geez.
Yeah, currently there's one. It's a good bar, though, so they're pretty well off.
That's nice.
And then that brings us to the 628, which is getting a pretty radical...
A little bit of whiplash back up north.
Yeah, back up to Layton / Queerfield, where we are getting a pretty radical redoing of the 628.
This is the one that used to have the replica trolley buses?
It did. It won't be running those anymore, thankfully, because those are awful.
As of change day.
As of change day, that's right.
Okay, understandable. Understandable.
Also, the 627 gets 30-minute frequency and weekend service. The 628
weekend service
is extended a bit, and there is a whiplash to the south again. There is a new on-demand zone in West Orem and Provo.
Which does usefully include the airport, because the 833 has crap hours.
And also... is incredibly unreliable thanks to railroad crossing.
Fun.
Yeah, this is probably a run-up to getting rid of the 833, which Temp Garage has wanted to do for years. It is unreliable, practically no one rides it, and the hope is to one day replace it with UVX to the airport, which is one of the fastest-growing airports in the country.
Jeez.
I'm glad they're hoping to take the airport connection a little bit more seriously, because we've looked at getting flights out of there because, you know, Frontrunner's great. Frontrunner's got good hours, but the bus hours are just horrible.
They are truly awful and are part of the reason I've never flown out of Provo. So Provo City Council, if you want to get my, you know, tourism dollars, beware. Make better bus service.
And on UVX, aren't they wanting to... move the East Bay loop to do something like more useful?
Yeah, that was actually the plan is to like get rid of the East Bay loop as soon as they're legally allowed to, and then just run it to the airport instead.
It was one of those, that was one of the obligations that came with the federal funding and the free fare.
It was the East Bay loop, which no one likes and uses, so.
But why would that be an obligation? Like, there's no voters there to whine about it. It's just like a mall.
I don't know, but it's part of like the federal thing, so. Like, the federal funding agreement. So as soon as that is, like, satisfied, they will just stop running
it. I'm immensely curious. And then they'll run it to the airport. And I'm assuming there's some other bus that goes by the mall. Frankly, the mall's not even that far from the station. It's, like, half a mile out.
It's the 821 and the 823 that will go by. So, yes.
Okay.
Not that this is a particularly thriving mall, but, you know.
It's good to have service to destinations.
Trademark.
Yeah.
And that's it, really. That is UTA's April 2025 change day.
Quite the haul. I'm looking forward to riding the Redwood Road North bus. I go on bike rides up that way a lot, and it's like a really weird transit. Desert. Like, if you want anything back, you have to cross all the way over the railway and the freeway.
Sucks.
We were also talking about how we could use it to, talking offline, as the work from homers say, about how we could use it to boat on the Jordan River.
Oh, yes, we were talking about that. Look out for the Red Line Flotilla's first voyage coming soon to a channel near you.
Oh, yeah.
Is this going to be the official name of Alex's boat, which might even already have a name? I haven't asked. Or are we going to make the Patreons name it?
Oh, yeah, we could.
There is no name, but I'm fine naming it whatever
Patreon
they
name contest.
Vote on.
Yeah, patrons, congratulations. You get to vote on what to name Alex's canoe. Not my kayak, though.
Should we do mail-in ballots, or should we do a normal poll like normal people?
We should do mail-in ballots just to piss off the Republicans.
I agree.
Anything to piss off the Republicans.
Oh, also, speaking of regional connectivity, the goddamn Redwood Road I-215 diverging diamond, like, what in the actual psychotic ass fuck?
Where is that?
Redwood Road and I-215.
Oh, that is interesting, isn't it? Wait, which
pedestrian accessible?
Northern I-215?
The north one on the new bus route.
Ooh, that is something, isn't it?
My bad.
How do you even...
Theoretically pedestrian accessible. You can see the crosswalks, and they've jammed God's tiniest sidewalk on the side of one of the overpasses.
I'm going to go walk over that.
Well, with the new bus, you could take the bus to one end, walk over, and then get the bus back.
Oh, I don't know that I could, because it runs every half hour, but...
Yeah, I guess we could math that out. But this is an example of one of the many things it is nice to have a bus to take you over.
Yeah, you don't say. Also, there's a big RV park there.
The KOA down on... Oh, they've got a second KOA up there,
don't they?
No, the Bish's
RV, and it's not like a KOA.
Oh. Interesting. Yeah, because the KOA down on North Temple has great service. I was using the Green Line for fucking hell if I remember what, and talking to some people who were staying at the KOA, and they were very much enjoying the hell out of themselves, taking the tracks downtown and seeing all the sights.
I live in
this,
the city. Look at me go. Yeah.
they were having the time of their lives. Like, this is good.
Yes.
So I'm just taking a look at the active map for the change day, and the innovative mobility zones. That's just a fancy way of saying on demand.
Yeah, because it's innovative to make an Uber
by being worse.
I like
it. It is innovative to replace buses with Uber, but worse.
I want to meet whoever they had draw these polygons.
Yeah, you could ArcGIS better than this.
Is this the one that they just used Google My Maps for?
No, they used Esri Online, ArcGIS Online.
Oh.
I can send it
Wait,
to
where
you.
Is the interactive map? Where do I go for this?
Yeah, can you
I'm
send
sending
me
you
it?
The
I
link
didn't
now.
Find it. Thank you.
It's not too bad. You can see the proposed 2026 as well.
Oh my goodness! Do not open this in Microsoft Edge. I will kill you.
Oh yeah, they totally just paid somebody to click on roads.
Yeah.
Oh.
This is something I would make in Google My Maps.
That's not very pretty,
the,
is
the
it?
Tool.
I love that, the big Cottonwood Canyon park and ride is not included, but all the houses next to it are.
Do you like the little cutout for Copperton on the west side of the valley?
I do. I think that's quite charming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is nice.
But I don't know.
Do you like the carefully placed divide between the Utah County and the South Valley ones?
Yeah.
Because they really don't want you taking this to make actual trips. Because then their ridership would be too high and their costs would explode.
It did for the west side one.
Yes, you can see by all these cutouts and stuff that they don't want you using this.
You know they have 45-minute wait times for the west side, on demand sometimes?
You know, maybe that's an indication that there's latent demand for actual transit that actually scales and on which getting more riders is a good thing.
You know, this is funny because I like that Pleasant View Station is still on the map even though it's very gone.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Oh my god, it is.
It's
this
just
must
there.
Be the oldest base map ever.
It'll be back one day.
Soon.
Stronger than ever.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, everything's perfect.
Oh yeah, Sophie,
line.
when we ride up from Ogden Station to visit Alex for one last hurrah before he moves back, I should bring my camera and we can stop at, for example, Pleasant View Station and get some bits for that base tunnel video.
We could do that. Wow, the Utah and Salt Lake Canal. I'm going to put a canal boat on that.
That is certainly a canal.
If whoever's, like, whoever designed the maps is listening to us right now, please don't use the compass wheels. Please stop doing that.
Where is that? Explain. I'm not an ArcGIS-er.
The compass wheel, well, it's not on the online. It's on the, like, screenshot on the document.
Oh, yeah, the silly, like, compass rose, yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's on their printed pamphlets. Those are just screenshots. They print those.
Oh.
They're quite excessive, aren't they?
That might be worse. Yeah, they're very, like, nautical, I'm gonna pirate booty you.
It is funny, and I think it's befitting of a physical printed map. I'm noticing that the North Ogden zone does not encompass Ogden Fair Runner. It comes tantalizingly close, but it does not.
Yeah, you have to go to Roy.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't encompass Roy either. You just have to take a bus connection.
Roy, my beloved.
Sorry, I hate Roy.
Why do you hate Roy?
What's your vendetta against Roy?
Worst place ever made on God's green earth.
This is very specific. Can you give us, like, a reason?
Like, more so than other places?
I've been there twice. Once to get a bed frame, and once, I don't know why I ended up there again.
I would like to say I love the fact that the, like, Google Maps picture for Roy is of the Hill Aerospace Museum, which is not in Roy.
Well, that just tells you how much
maybe
is in Roy.
Maybe that says something about Roy.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I get...
That just tells you how much stuff is in Roy.
Now that you have me thinking about it, I've been, like, bike riding past the Roy Frontrunner Station numerous times on, you know, the only trail, or I guess one of two trails. Soon to be one of three, once they finish their new God's Gajillionth Freeway. But I've never actually been to anything in Roy, and it's never occurred to me to, like, try and go anywhere
bedroom
in
community.
Roy.
You know why? There is not anything.
Yeah, nothing. Nothing is there. There are no destinations.
It's like
great.
It's
urban
like
planning.
Hopper.
Simply top tier. feel like up on the north end, they reserved most of like the retail for the east side, if you will. I don't know if that's just because the west side is younger, less access to water, that sort of thing, or what.
Who knows.
I don't get Weber County.
Few people do.
My family likes living there, though, so I guess good for them.
Really?
They live in North Ogden.
Interesting choice of locales.
I think that's where my parents want to move.
Why?
Voluntarily? They live in, like, actual Salt Lake.
Is Sugar House too woke?
No. The house is just too big.
Oh.
For them, no.
So they want a smaller house in North Ogden. Well,
Kyle, getting a smaller house in Salt Lake is probably not going to be attainable.
Probably, that's true.
Yeah, if they want to actually still have some money left over from a potential house sale, they kind of need to go somewhere else. But
somewhere cheap, and real estate in North Ogden is cheap for a reason.
I said come up to Logan, but I don't think they're too keen. So
really, I'd say that beats North Ogden.
No,
I think I don't know exactly why, but
je ne suis pas d'accord. Anyway, any closing thoughts on UTA's 2025 April Change Day?
Exciting stuff. I'm excited that we have more service instead of less service. I'm looking forward to trying out recreationally or even intentionally using for transportation some of the new
routes. I'm looking
routes.
Forward to being able to go places on 39th.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Where, like, there are places I want to go.
A lot of people are
going to
benefit. Yeah. Like, a lot of people are going to benefit from these routes. Like, the coverage increase is insane. We're very spoiled living at the nexus of the transit system and rarely having to go out to these places. I'm also looking forward to the fare card changes that are supposed to be coming in like 2026 or some shit. I'm not sure what the latest meta on that is.
Exciting. Please I'm remember.
Just excited rolling out the new readers. What was that, Alex?
I'm just excited at the prospects of using 200 South.
True. Bus and bike and walk and all of the above.
Anyway, please remember to like, comment, and subscribe if you're listening on YouTube, and to follow and leave us a rating on iTunes and/or Spotify. If you like what we do here, you can become a member on Patreon. Patrons receive early access to all of our regular content, as well as exclusive content and occasional merch drops. Speaking of patrons, at frontrunner tier, $10 or more per month, we have Zach Adams, Aaron, Curtis Herring, Devin Zander, Phobos2390, and Tony Stunts.
At $5 a month, our redline tier, we have Christopher Whaley, DJ...
Hi, Will.
Watkins, Elijah Kinsler, Isaac Madsen, Jesse Mayo, Nebula, Reluctant LA Resident, Robert P. Walsh, and Zephyr Zamoro.
At the blue line extension tier, frankly, either or all of them, $3 a month, we have Alex Dykelski, Alice MYOB, Ben, Ethan McDonald, Evelyn, G4, Jack McCoskey, Litmus Zest, Martin Hecker Martinez, Matt Gray, McKay Ransom, Oliver, Sam Myers, Sky Lukowski, Toronto Transit Channel, and Zach Verstott.
And at $1 per month, green line tier, we have Benjamin Wood, Joshua S. Horvath, Kapil, Ryan Bailey, and William Rowe. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Go ride a bus.
Yeah, a new bus even, perhaps.
One bus, two bus, red bus, blue bus.
Yes.
Mayhaps I have a bus, sir.
Please, sir, could I have a bus? You got any bus routes for a poor boy?
Yeah, no. That's how I feel up here. Please, sir, give me some service.